Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. This is God's Word. "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil, who deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Believe it or not, with all the things that are written in the book of Revelation, this is considered one of the most controversial chapters in the whole book. Among people who believe that the Bible is entirely true, that it is completely inerrant, no mistakes in it whatsoever, among people who believe that Scripture needs to be our standard and the means by which we are informed, who believe this is God's revelation, there is not a unanimous opinion as to what this chapter means. Now, I just want you to know that, because when I was in seventh grade, I didn't understand that. I thought you could pretty much tell whether a person really knew the Lord and believed the Bible by whether or not they agreed with what I'd been taught. And so my question for Sam Alexander, my seventh grade math and science teacher, was, Mr. Alexander, are you a premillennialist, a postmillennialist, or an amillennialist? I knew that there were people who held those views, but I had utter disdain for anybody who didn't share mine. When I got to college, I discovered that there were people who believed the Bible and disagreed with me. I was shocked. How could anyone believe the Bible and not agree with me? Well, it turned out that I understood this scripture in light of this scripture, which of course meant that this scripture must mean this. These folks believed that this scripture and this scripture gave a different meaning to this. Well, I never looked at it like that. Their verses were in the Bible too. And so suddenly, I was faced with, what do I believe? Well, let me tell you this morning, first of all, if you don't agree, as long as you believe that what this is saying is true, you don't have to agree with me. Okay? You may have already known that. Okay? But there's a corollary, and that is, even if what I believe doesn't agree with what you believe, that's okay too. In other words, you don't have to agree with me in order for me to love you. Please don't insist that I agree with you in order for you to love me. Okay? It's possible that one of the most important verses that should guide our understanding is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. And that is, when he's talking about love, now we see as in a glass darkly. Then we shall see face to face. I'll guarantee you this. When all this stuff happens, nobody is going to say, God got it wrong. All of us are going to say, that's what that meant. Okay? That's exactly what God said. Now I see it. It all makes sense. So as we approach this, I tend to be a bit literal. Okay? I tend to think that unless there is some compelling reason in the text, such as when it says it looked like this, or it was this which stands for this, unless there's something like that in the text, when it says that there's going to be a period of 1,000 years, you know, well, that could just mean a really long period of time. Well, yeah, 1,000 years is a pretty long period of time. But I would submit that when it says several times in a few verses, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, my takeaway is it's a period of 1,000 years. Okay? There's no reason that I can find in the text or in any of these other people's arguments for me to conclude that, well, you know, it may not be 1,000 years. It says it's 1,000 years. Well, so are you saying that anybody who doesn't agree with you is just not believing the Bible? No. But I'm tempted to. Because that's what it says. It says he was bound for 1,000 years. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then it says, when the 1,000 years are over. Now, what does that sound like to you? Just me? I take it to mean 1,000 years. Well, I know some wonderful, godly people who do believe the Bible, and they believe that that's symbolic, and they bring rich meaning to understanding this. I do too. I know those folks. Okay? God bless them. And a lot of what they say about the meaning of this is absolutely true, but I think it's going to be a period of 1,000 years because the text says so. And it doesn't just say it once, it says it 3 times, and that's kind of like emphasis, don't you think? That's usually the way that stuff works. So, let's look at the story here. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that is that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan. Who is this that he seized? It's the devil or Satan, that ancient serpent. In other words, let's don't be unclear about who it is that gets seized here. It's emphasized. It's clarified. There should be no misunderstanding. He seized him. Now, I like that. The devil gets grabbed. And Verse 3, he threw him into the abyss. He's manhandled. Isn't it wonderful to see a bully get his? The devil who has deceived people, including me. The devil who has done such horrible harm. Go all the way back to the garden. It talks about the ancient serpent here. All the way back through all of human history, he has been the great deceiver, the great enemy, the accuser. I mean, he is horrible. It is just a delight to see him grabbed, seized, it says, bound, and thrown into the pit. And then the pit slammed shut and locked over him. And so an angel, a messenger, is sent by God with the authority and the power to do what no one has been successful at through all the generations. And the devil is bound and sealed up and out of commission for 1,000 years, or a really long time, depending on your interpretation. Now, I just love this, because I hate the devil. I've always hated the devil since I was a little kid, which makes it all the more amazing that he has been able on so many occasions to get me to do his bidding instead of God's bidding. But you see, he is a deceiver. That is his nature, and that's what's talked about here. And the purpose of putting him in the pit was so that he couldn't deceive the nations during that time. So now the devil is bound, sealed up, and he was kept from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, it says he must be set free for a short time. Would you like to vote on this? I say we just don't let him out. Okay? I mean, wouldn't that be... Let me tell you something. God's plan includes the devil being able to do his thing. Read the book of Job. And you and I need to understand when we're going through testing and hardship and difficulty and persecution, and it seems like, God, you have all power. Why don't you just stop this from happening? God is at work carrying out his plan. And we don't need to be second-guessing. We need to be worshiping, and we need to be obeying.
Folks, as you know, we do not do a lot of giveaways on this broadcast. We do not do a lot of fundraising on this broadcast. Our goal, day after day, is to bring you biblical teaching. But this month, we're giving away something besides the gospel. Actually, includes the gospel because it's a beautiful recording by the Gettys, and we want to send it to you as a gift in thanks for those of you who sign up to be monthly givers to Ware's Valley Ranch. I hope that many of you who enjoy this broadcast will support Ware's Valley Ranch with your prayers and with your gifts. If you want to know more about the ranch, go to the website wvr.org. You've been hearing on this month's broadcasts some bumper music by the Gettys. They are tremendous musicians and worship leaders, and I want to encourage you to get a copy of this CD, which is the Gettys Kids CD. It's wonderful. We've used it here at the ranch, and I've enjoyed it personally, and I just want to encourage you to contact the ranch, become a monthly giver. Your gift of $10 or more to the ranch will cause us to send you one of these. Now, if you say, well, I'm already a monthly giver, can I get one of these CDs too? Yes, you can. We're glad to send it. Just request it. So contact us and say, please, I'm one of your listeners. I want the Getty CD. You can call our toll-free number. You can go to us through the website. But we would love to hear from you. It means a lot to know that you are not only listening, but you're praying for us and that you want to help us help the children. I do need to tell you that because we're a 501c3 charitable organization, your gifts are tax deductible to the extent that they exceed the fair market value of goods that you receive from the ranch in return for your gift. The fair market value of the Getty Kids hymnal is $10. So if you have questions, you can always call us toll free. You can always go to our website. You can write to info@wvr.org. God bless you.
Shout for joy unto the Lord. Worship him with gladness.
He says, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And I saw the souls of those who'd been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the Word of God. Ooh. We need to know that's part of the picture. Suffering to the point of death because of our obedience to Christ. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Let me tell you something. Death doesn't get the final say. These people lost their heads because of their faith. And yet, that was not the end. God brought them back as sharing in his victory over death. Think about it. The Romans sealed the tomb. Professional executioner made sure Jesus is really dead by spearing him in the side in order to verify that he was really dead. It wasn't to kill him, it was to verify that he'd already died. They put him in the tomb, and on the third day, he rises again from the dead. And a cohort of soldiers and a seal on the tomb and a great big stone can't hold him. Death can't hold him. Hallelujah. That's the God we're called to obey. And he will not forsake his own. And so when the Bible speaks of the first resurrection and the people of God being brought back from death and given eternal life, that is for us a joyous truth. Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they're like the sand on the seashore, and they marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. How could he possibly deceive them? There's been 1,000 years of blessed history where there's no crime, there's world peace, there's the millennial kingdom. How can people be upset about this? Because the problem is not our circumstances, it's our hearts. And Satan is a very practiced deceiver. Go all the way back to the garden. When Adam and Eve did not have a sin nature, they weren't bent toward sin, they weren't in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. They were in a state of innocence, and everything was perfect. They had all the food they could possibly want. It was just there for them. Animals weren't attacking them. Animals were their friends. I mean, this is paradise. This is perfection. This is marvelous. And Satan says, did God really say you can't eat the fruit of any of the trees of the garden? Oh, no. He just said we can't eat the fruit from that one. In fact, we're not even supposed to touch it. In fact, if we eat it, we'll die. You will not surely die. God knows that if you eat that fruit, you'll be like him. Oh. He slanders the character of God. He lies about the consequences of sin. And what did we do? Well, let's try that. Sounds like a good idea. It looks good. Throughout human history, he has been deceiving people. So the idea that he would deceive the nations at the end of the millennium is not a stretch for me. And so they march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Does not sound as if God has a hard time dealing with this. You understand that if God wanted to simply turn the whole place into an ash heap right now, he could do it. Anybody who thinks that there's this great eternal contest between light and darkness, you know, it's the yin and the yang. You know, God on the one hand being the good force and Satan on the other hand being the evil force. And they've got this eternal... No. Satan is a created being. God has always been. Satan has limited power. Even though it's impressive, it's limited. God has infinite power. He's in control right now. He always will be. And the devil
is about to be thrown, not back into the pit for another 1,000 years, but he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire where he's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what it says. You know what it means? Exactly that. And God is going to keep his word. He keeps his promises. He promises to save, and he will save. He promises to destroy, and he will destroy. Well, don't you think, though, it'd make more sense since we're finite creatures, and therefore any sin we commit is, you know, finite sin, doesn't it seem wrong for suffering to be eternal? Well, it would be if we weren't rebelling against an eternal God who is not finite and who has warned us and warned us and warned us and warned us and offers a full pardon to anyone who will come and trust in him. No stretch. Not hard to believe. You spit in the face of that God over and over and over and over and over and over, despite warning after warning. And then you want to cry unjust? He's not unjust. He's not unmerciful. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. I love that sentence. Earth and sky fled from his presence. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. And there was no place for them. It's like, where are we going to go? There isn't any place. You can't get away from God. You understand? People who say to me, and there are people who say this, I don't just imagine these voices in my head. There are people who say to me, well, it just, you know, when I hear about that, it just makes me want to run the other direction. I don't want a God who's like that. You don't get to vote. Okay? If you want another kind of God, that's called idolatry. And it's deadly. Don't do that. Make peace with the God who is God. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Look again in verse 13. Each person was judged according to what he had done. And some of them, it says, had lived such good lives that they were welcomed into heaven. Do you find that verse? No, it's not in there. It says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. In other words, if you and I are judged on the basis of what we've done, serious trouble. The only way that any of us can be saved is on the basis of what Jesus has done. I was his enemy. He made me his child. Wow. Wow. Let me sum up. God's got the whole thing under control. He's stronger than death. He's stronger than the devil. The devil knows that his days are numbered. He knows his time is short. He's going to do his thing. We're not supposed to be afraid because it's all been planned and it's all under God's control. Death will not be able to destroy God's people. Yes, there is eternal punishment for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, how can I be sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Call on the name of the Lord. Trust in Him. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation, He has saved you. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.